You can see that immediately after the brokenness in Genesis chapter 17 was Genesis 18. Genesis 18, the Lord appeared again in verse 1 under the terebinth tree of Mamre. And the Lord spoke to him especially about the fruitfulness that was coming in verse 10. I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. That's the third thing. Fruitfulness will come forth, the Lord said. And that's the same message that you have in the book of Jeremiah 24. And then the fourth thing about the covenant is found in Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. Find here that God talks about the 70 years. One of the major prophecies that we're going to cover in the book of Daniel. He prophesied about 70 years that will come. And this is one of the most important prophecies that came forth in this passage. Let's read part of it in verse 12. Then it will come to pass when 70 years are completed that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. And in other words, God says that even what they go through under Babylon will only be for 70 years, which later, of course, Daniel brought the prophecy and developed it further under the messianic fulfillment. But exactly 70 years was what God prophesied that there will be under the Babylonian empire. And God says in the book of Jeremiah later wrote in chapter 29 a letter to the captives. All this is part of the 70 years. Jeremiah 29 verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. Now God was talking about those who will keep His word, His covenant. You see what happened? There was a large group that did not keep His covenant, but there was a small group that kept His covenant. And God says, even though you are there, if you will keep my word, if you will call upon me, if you will seek my face, and all this description in chapter 29, God says, I will be with you. In other words, those who are in the covenant, who did not violate the covenant, did not break the covenant, as we all know, among them are one of those called Daniel. Daniel. The judgment was on the nation, but there were individuals who still kept the covenant. Like Daniel. And later God blessed them because of their covenant. You remember one of the first things Daniel did was he refused to break the covenant. He refused to eat Gentile food, which was a requirement of the Jews. He kept the covenant and God kept His covenant. We see the fourth thing in a covenant, and then God has His timing to bring the people to a great blessing in His thing, which is see that a covenant also has a time span. A time span. There's a time and a season of all things. When God promises something in a covenant, it may not be instantly fulfilled. There is a time span. Sometimes a time span is mentioned, like 70 years. Sometimes it's not mentioned. Sometimes it's short, sometimes it's long. You remember when God promised Abraham descendants? That was way back in Genesis chapter 13, when Lot left him. And then God keep talking about that in Genesis 15. Then by the time he is 99 years old in Genesis 17, still don't have. Why was it? There is such a thing as timing. Timing in a covenant relationship. God will never be late. He will never be late. He will always be in His perfect timing for His purposes. One of the reasons why he waited until Abraham was 99 was because before that Abraham could fulfill it himself without the covenant. Proof for that is Hagar. You see, when he has Ishmael, it was not through a supernatural act. It was through a natural act. In other words, although Sarah was barren, Abraham was fertile. God waited until Abraham was sterile. Then God said, now let's stop covenant business. Abraham said, look, you waited until I conk out. Part of his system conk out. God says, it's not too late. God says, now we can talk covenant business, because before that, Abraham, you don't need me. Look what you did with Hagar. Now he's saying, Abraham, now you need me. Before that, you can do it in your strength. Now you need God's strength. There is such a thing as timing. You notice that by the time you reach this word timing, all the other process has taken place. You see, timing teaches us about yieldedness, about brokenness, about fruitfulness, which comes in God's timing. See, as long as Abraham still have a part of himself alive, there was no need to yield to God in that area. But God waited until even whatever ability he has to reproduce was gone. And God appeared to him in that covenant. Finally, chapter 27. The fifth thing that came about in his act in chapter 27, in verse 2 was, here it says, thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes and put them on your neck. So what Jeremiah did was that he put this yoke for an oxen. That one was not meant for human being, it was meant for an oxen. He make it and he walked around with it, prophesying. He suddenly looked a strange sight. And he was saying, serve the king of Babylon faithfully. They didn't serve God faithfully, and they had to serve the king faithfully for a period of time, and God will keep blessing them. He's talking about servitude and how they will have to serve the Babylonian king. It implied that they should be serving God in the first place. But failing to do that, now they've got to serve their king. The fifth thing in a covenant relationship, after yieldedness, brokenness, fruitfulness, and the timing of God, and the timing, you can, if you want to make it, you know, into a, it's related to fruitfulness, but we separate it because it was by itself in the 70 years. Well, then comes the other one, the fifth one, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Needs to... Faithfulness speaks about service. Yieldedness talks about surrender. Brokenness talks about removal. Fruitfulness talks about producing. Timing talks about waiting. And the yoke speaks about faithfulness and service. Incidentally, all these things are found in John chapter 15. Here's where we tie it to John 15. And realize that even in our covenant relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, all those things are a requirement of us. John 15, verse 1 to verse 5. Jesus is talking about our covenant relationship with Him that requires all those five things. In verse 1, He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, he's telling us here in chapter 15, verse 1, that he is the vine and we are the branches. He repeats that in verse 5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. What is the position of a branch to a vine? Yieldedness. The branch is only one part of the stem, from the stem. We yield to the stem. The relationship is on a yieldedness area. But yet, strangely, verse 2 takes place. It says that every branch in me that bears fruit. He's not talking about unfruitful branch. He's talking about a branch that bears fruit, he says. He prunes, he cuts. That talks about brokenness. Pruning talks about brokenness. Because yieldedness is those things that are good in us, we give to Him. But brokenness are those things that are not perfect and not so good in His sight, that have no use for Him. It has to be removed. That can be difficult. Brokenness has to do with cutting away all the sharp ends in our life that are useless to God. It's in the vine, pruning. See, after a vine has produced fruit, and the fruit is harvested, that branch doesn't produce any more from the very stalks. When the next season comes, it actually has to produce a new branch, a new stalk, to bear the grapes. So the old has to be cut and trimmed away, so that the grapes will be abundant, fruitful, and big. The third relationship is also found here. In fruitfulness, it says here, in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. Now you can see that fruitfulness is mentioned. And it says, for without me you can do nothing. He wants us to bear fruit. A real covenant relationship will bear fruit, will have an effect on our lives and on those around. Then, you notice here in verse 7 and 8, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. Again, he talks about fruitfulness, and of course fruitfulness talks about season and time. Because a branch doesn't immediately bear fruit. There's a season for the fruit to come forth. Just like Psalms 1 tells us that we can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bears fruit in its season. In its season. Finally, we find here in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. What's he talking about? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. The fruit will be lasting. Now he can be talking about two areas of fruit. One could be character, the other could be discipling. If it's character, it's talking about consistency in our character. If it's talking about disciples, then it's talking about our faithfulness in serving and making disciples. Again, there is the element of service, that yoke that is upon us. He that desire to be great among you, let him be the servant of all. And to be a servant doesn't mean you serve once. To be a servant is one who has adopted a position, an office, and a relationship of wanting to serve another. So all these things are found in Jeremiah chapter 1 to 39. And we conclude the first section by looking at chapter 33, which proves to us that the entire part is talking about the covenant. In chapter 33, and this is the beauty of what the Lord says here. Looking at verse 19. Jeremiah 33 verse 19. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that there will not be day and night in their season, then my covenant may also be broken with David. Now the Lord says, even though the present generation broke their covenant, yet the Lord remember way back, David had walked with him, although David failed a few times there in his life, but generally David repented quickly, turned to the Lord, and kept the covenant, and God promised David that David will always have a son on the throne.